Chapter 14. I sat in the inner sanctum of the principal's office, meaning right by his desk, alone for the next 2 hours, listening to the flurry of activity outside the door at the secretary's desk and office waiting area. I heard the secretary calling my parents. Which parents she spoke to, I don't know. They were both on their way down. I heard Kurt's mom come in a blustering tirade of dirty words and threats of lawsuits. I wondered if she practiced these speeches, or was she just a natural bully? Whichever it was, I could tell she enjoyed being mad. If I didn't already know she had created this whole situation, I might be irate along with her. The other thing that kept me off her side was that she was verbally attacking me, yelling that I was a maniac and, better yet, need to be expelled or, better yet, sent to jail. The door opened and Principal Perriman came in and shut the door to drown out the shouts from the outer office. "You are in a great deal of trouble, Mr. Greatneck," he said, like a man whose life was circling back to bad after a nice vacation in Pleasantville. "It looks that way," I said, trying to sound humble. Principal Perriman did a double take, as if my words were another language. "Mr. Greatneck," he said, as serious as a cancer diagnosis, "you are looking at more than suspension. Mrs. Pesterman wants me to contact the police. Your parents will be here in about 20 minutes, and we will all meet with Kurt and his mother. Unless your story is more convincing than the evidence, this could destroy many years of your life. I will have to call the police, and you will be arrested, even though you are a minor." 20 minutes, I said. When the 20 minutes were up and my parents walked in looking worried but unsurprised, I had not convinced the principal to call off the police. They were still on their way. Mom and Dad greeted Principal Perriman and sat on both sides of me like emperor penguins shielding their baby from the frigid Arctic cold. And Mrs. Pesterman was a blizzard. The door burst open, and Mrs. Pesterman entered the room in a whirlwind of accusations. The principal stood up, and Kurt limped in, aided by the nurse. Mrs. Pesterman showed about as much concern for her son as an alligator for a chicken egg. "Where are the police?" Mrs. Pesterman screamed in the principal's face.
"Calm down, please," Principal Perriman said.
"Is this the little deviant?"
Mrs. Pesterman said, throwing a finger in my direction.
"I want him out of this school for what he's done to my Kurt."
My parents didn't know what was going on, but huddled close to protect me. I was amazed that someone could lie with no problem, guilt, or worry about their evil. I also thought Mrs. Pesterman should get an Academy Award for Best Supporting Bullying Mother.
"What kind of parents are you?" Mrs. Pesterman spit at my mom and dad. "Letting your little criminal hurt my son."
My dad was a hard man to ruffle. He said, "Madam, we've just arrived. Perhaps we should hear from the boys what happened and then yell at them."
"Hear from the boys?" Mrs. Pesterman spewed as if venom might leak out of her mouth. "Are you an idiot? Look at my son's face. And what was in your little rat's backpack?"
As if on Mrs. Pesterman's payroll, the nurse pulled out the mace from my bag and set it on the table.
"See?"
Mrs. Pesterman said, flinging spit from her overheated jaws.
"You want to hear what happened? Kurt, get over here."
Kurt moved one step too slowly for Mother.
"Now!" she yelled.
He jumped to her side, his face purple with bruises and dried blood sticking around his mouth as if he were a sloppy Kool-Aid drinker. Kurt told his story, perfectly, through tears of pain or fear of his mom. It was hard to tell. There are always two sides to every person. I felt sorry for this side of Kurt Pesterman. My parents listened to Kurt's home practice version and looked at me with a small shudder of doubt. They knew the mace was a setup because I'd explained the story the night before, and they knew I didn't have any idea where to get hold of mace. The rest of the story had them a little dumbfounded. Doubt or no doubt, they still supported me. "Perhaps we should hear Handy's side now," my dad said in an even and calm voice.
"His side?" screamed Mrs. Pesterman. "We can see his side in my son's face. All we need now is the police to get here." She turned to the principal. "If you don't call the police, I will have you fired. I know 3 school board members. You won't be able to get a job as the principal of a kennel."
There was a knock at the door as if the universe didn't want the principal to lose his job. The principal spoke.
"I did call the police, madam.
I think we will all now listen to what Mr. Greatneck has to say." I looked at both my parents in the eyes and took a long, sad look at Kurt Pesterman. Would I be him if I lived his life? "I'm sorry it's come to this," I said, "but I just have one thing to say." I paused for a second as I reached into my coat pocket. "Thank you, Grandma." Kurt and his mother both let out a confused groan as I pulled out my 512-megabyte, ultra-sensitive, shock-resistant digital recorder and placed it on the principal's desk. I pushed play.
"Just calm down. He'll show up."
The voice was very clear. The entire recording was as clear as a glass door at a window washer's house. I turned it off as Kurt began screaming from Jack's blows. The police had come late to this party and looked confused as if they were listening to an old radio drama. The nurse moved first and handed them the can of mace.
"Well, it's good we have the police here," Principal Perriman said, "but I believe it is you, Mrs. Pesterman, who will be taking a ride to the station."
The police officer signaled for Mrs. Pesterman to come with them. She was about to argue until one of the officers reached for his handcuffs. Kurt watched his mother escorted from the room. She didn't even acknowledge him as she was leaving. Loyalty to bullies is a one-way street.
"Mr. Pesterman," Principal Perriman said to Kurt after the door closed, "your father is here, and he is waiting in the nurse's office. He will take you to a doctor. He hopes you would want to stay with him for a while."
My dad?
Kurt said as if those two words relieved his pain. The nurse started to lead Kurt away. He turned to me and said,
I'm sorry, Handy.
Can we go? My mom asked the principal.
Yes, he replied. But I would like it if Hannibal stayed. In the Army, we called it debriefing. I think there's a lot more going on in this school that I may need to know. Is that true, Mr. Greatneck?
A problem or two, I said.
Okay, then, my dad said and turned to me. Come home right after school. You're grounded.
I hoped he was kidding.
I asked the principal after my parents left if Ralphie and Kayla could come down and fill in the pieces I couldn't. They were around long before I took over the ball in this game.